Frank and Conrad made a cold camp again that night. Frank thought about suggesting that they take turns standing guard, but when he saw how eagerly Conrad crawled into the blankets and fell asleep, he knew there wouldn't be any point in it. Conrad would never be able to stay awake during his turn. Frank couldn't stay awake all night either, so he knew he would have to rely on Wolf and Stormy to alert him if anybody came too close, and he would sleep lightly too, he was sure of that. When trouble arrived, it didn't come creeping. Frank waited until the large, dark, bulky shape of a horse and rider came into view.
Hold it, mister. That's far enough.
My God! Is someone there? Oh, help me! Please help me!
That it was a woman's voice had surprised him quite a bit. But Frank wasn't going to fully trust her simply because she was a woman. He kept the rifle trained on her as he stood up.
Who's there? Frank, what's going on?
Stay where you are. Get down off of there, ma'am. Slow and easy. Easy now. Conrad, get over here and drag her over by the bedrolls.
Who is she?
I don't have any idea. She just rode up out of the night and said that she needed help.
Frank quickly tethered the woman's horse to a mesquite bush.
We're going to have some light. Otherwise, we won't be able to tell how badly she's hurt, or even if she's hurt.
You're right. Gather up some of those dead mesquite branches, and I'll build a fire.
Why don't you gather the branches? I thought I might loosen her clothes a bit, so that she can breathe easier.
Sounds to me like she's breathing just fine. And if there's any clothes loosening to be done, it might be better for somebody older and more settled to do it.
Like you.
Well, I do fit the description more than you do.
Next time I'll be more precise about who's in charge around here.
Frank checked the pulse in the young woman's neck. It beat strong and steadily against his fingers. She seemed to be in no real danger. Likely she had passed out from exhaustion. He could see well enough in the starlight to tell that she was dressed in men's clothing, a shirt, a pair of denim trousers, and boots. She'd had a hat on when she rode up, but it had fallen off when she took her tumble from the horse. Thick waves of fair hair fanned out around her head. She had sounded young when she spoke, and nothing about her appearance belied that impression.
Here, Mr. Fire Builder.
It didn't take long for Frank's fire to get going pretty strong, casting a reddish-yellow glow over the ground where the still unconscious woman lay. Frank was able to look her over for bloodstains, but didn't find any.
My God, she's beautiful.
Frank couldn't argue with that assessment. The young woman looked to be about 20 years old, and she was undeniably lovely.
I'm too old to be thinking about such things.
Yes, Frank, you are.
Well, we gotta find out who she is and what she's doing out here in the middle of nowhere. From the sound of what she said, she's in some sort of trouble. That means someone could be dogging her trail, and they might show up at any minute looking for a fight.
Good point.
Miss. Miss? You better wake up. Can you hear me? Miss? Take it easy. You passed out and fell off your horse. I don't think you're hurt, but we can't be sure of that just yet.
Who are you?
I'm Frank Morgan. This young man is Conrad Browning.
Oh, so I found you, huh? Oh, I didn't expect to be so lucky.
You were looking for us?
Oh, for you, Mr. Morgan.
Why?
Because they want to kill you.
Maybe you better sit up after all. You'll have to explain that.
Oh, yes. Oh, help me up.
Are you all right? Do you feel dizzy or anything?
I'm all right. Thank you.
Let's hear what you got to say. Start with your name.
It's Rebel. Rebel Callahan.
What an unusual name, but quite lovely. It suits you.
He stopped short as the full import of what she had said sunk in on him.
Did you say Callahan?
That's right. That name means something to you, doesn't it?
It does. Are you related to Simon and Judd?
They were my cousins.
Until I killed them.
Yes, you did. And because of that, their brother Ed and my brothers Tom and Bob want to kill you.
They're the ones who ambushed us last night.
That's right. They thought they could finish you off without any trouble, but it didn't work out that way.
It usually doesn't. One thing I learned over the years is that killing a man can be simple sometimes, but usually it's a complicated affair. You never know what's going to come of it.
Like tossing a pebble into a pond and watching the ripples from it.
That's right. What's your part in all this?
They must have forced her to come along with them. Isn't that right, Miss Callahan?
Oh, that's right. Tom and Bob said it was my duty as a member of the family to help avenge Simon and Judd. My brothers and my cousin and I were the only ones left in our family. They said you had to die because of what you done, Mr. Morgan.
But you didn't agree with that.
Oh, of course not. I don't agree with cold-blooded murder. I waited for my chance, and then I got away from them as soon as I could. I rode after you, hoping I could find you and warn you.
You did that out of the goodness of your heart?
Blast it, Frank. You sound like you're suspicious of this poor girl. She risked her own life to help us, and you cast aspersions on her motives?
Oh, no, he's right. Mr. Browning, was it? Mr. Morgan is right to be suspicious of me. After all, I belong to the same family that wants to kill him, and to kill you too, since you're traveling with them.
It's a mite unusual to find a young woman wearing pants and gallivanting around the countryside like you're doing, Miss Callahan.
She gave a defiant toss of her head that made her blonde hair swirl a little. Frank suspected the gesture was a habit of hers.
Oh, I've always been a tomboy, guess you could say. I can ride and shoot as well as either of my brothers. I had to learn, because we all worked hard running a ranch down in the Davis Mountains. That is, until we lost it.
Outfit went under, did it?
Rustlers drove us into bankruptcy. We couldn't keep the place going. It was a blow losing it. Our father started it when he came out to West Texas after the war.
I reckon he must have fought for the Confederate side.
Of course he did, but how did you know? Oh, because of my name.
Seemed like a reasonable guess.
And you're right. My father was from Georgia, and he was a staunch Confederate. My brothers were named after Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. When I came along, my father couldn't think of any famous Confederate women, so he just called me Rebel.
Guess he never heard of Belle Boyd. She was a spy for the South.
Guess not.
What about those cousins of yours? Do they work the ranch with you?
No, not at all. Simon and Judd and Ed were older. Ed even fought in the war. But they've always been drifters. Grubline riders, I guess you'd call them, if they ever actually did any work. I've thought for a long time they were probably outlaws and hired gunmen.
Conrad started to say something, probably about hired gunmen, but Frank silenced him with a look.
Tom and Bob heard that they were in El Paso, so we came out to see if we could join up with them for a while, since we didn't have anywhere else to go. I thought I might be able to get a job working in a store or something like that. But then you killed Judd, and Simon didn't tell us about it because he wanted to settle the score with you himself. And then you killed him, too, and when Ed and my brothers heard about it, they went crazy mad, Mr. Morgan. They won't stop until they've killed you.
Or until I've killed them.
Oh, you wouldn't? Well, they're all the family I've got left.
Frank, we've got to do something about this. Miss Callahan can't be left alone in the world. We've got to make it right somehow with her brothers and her cousin.
How would you suggest doing that, Conrad? Some debts have to be paid in blood.
Hogwash. Anything can be negotiated. There's always a way to reach an equitable settlement.
Money, you mean?
Well, yes.
You spent too much time back east. Folks there always think that the best way to solve a problem is to throw money at it. But in most cases, that doesn't accomplish a thing, except to make the problem worse.
All right. What solution do you propose?
To keep those Callahan boys from killing us, whatever it takes. If we can do it without killing them, so much the better.
But if you can't...
No offense, ma'am, but I'm not gonna let your family gun me down out of revenge and not try to do something about it.
I understand. Well, I know you're right. Well, that's why I broke away from them and came to warn you. Because I think they're doing the wrong thing. From what I heard, Simon and Judd tried to kill you first. You were just defending yourself.
That's the way it happened, all right.
Maybe if you explain that to Ed and Tom and Bob...
You really think that would work?
Oh, well, no. I doubt that it would. But maybe I could talk to them. Maybe they'd listen to me.
I got the feeling you already tried to talk to them, and it didn't do any good.
That's true. But it might be different now. I mean, I've actually spoken to you now, and I know you acted in self-defense.
Well, young lady, I don't think it'll make a damn bit of difference, but I can understand why you have to try. And I sincerely wish you luck.
I don't care much about my cousin, Mr. Morgan, but my brothers are the only close family I have left, and I sure don't want to lose them.
Well, I hope you can get them to listen to you. Now, how do we get you back to your family safely without having to trade shots with them?
Well, there's a water stop up ahead where the railroad crosses the Members River. You could leave me there, and when the boys catch up, I'll talk to them. I'll do my best to convince them to abandon the whole idea of vengeance and go back to El Paso. If it doesn't work, well, you haven't lost anything by letting me try.
You shouldn't go back to them, Miss Callahan. It sounds as if they treat you terribly. From the sound of it, they seem to regard you as one of the boys rather than as the lovely young woman you are.
Frank couldn't tell because of the firelight, but he thought Rebel blushed. Conrad was the one who ought to be blushing, the way he was so blatantly trying to flatter her.
I suppose it wouldn't hurt anything for you to try to talk sense to him. I've heard of that water stop, called Membris Tank, isn't it?
That's right. You can reach it by noon tomorrow.
How far back of us are the others?
They can't back the other side of the pass. They're at least an hour behind you.
Aren't they liable to come right on after you when they discover that you're gone?
Oh, they're all sound sleepers. And I left my bedroll made up to look like I was in it, in case one of them wakes up. They probably won't know I'm gone until morning.
You must have ridden hard after you slipped away, to catch up to us like you did.
I knew it was important, so I didn't mind pushing my horse, or myself.
Would you like something to eat or drink, Miss Callahan? We have some beans and salt pork, and we can put on a pot of coffee if you want some.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Browning, but I'm fine. I ate with the boys before we all turned in.
You're sure? It wouldn't be any bother.
The lady said she wasn't hungry, Conrad.
Well, I'm just trying to be a good host. This may be the frontier, but there's no excuse for poor manners.
Frank tried not to smile. The next time he ran into a kill-crazy gun thrower who wanted to ventilate him, or a bloodthirsty Apache who wanted to lift his hair, he'd be sure to tell them that their actions didn't conform to the accepted notions of proper etiquette. Right after he shot them, that is.
I'll try to remember that, Mr. Browning. Well, I'm not willing to gamble that the young lady is right about her family not discovering her absence until the morning. Conrad, you and I will take turns standing watch. Rebel, you're going to get some rest.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Morgan. I can sure use it.
Rebel seemed to sleep well. Frank and Conrad each gave up a blanket, and she was able to improvise a bedroll from them. The next morning, food and coffee, as well as the cool morning air, put a definite glow in Rebel's cheeks and made her more lovely than ever. She was beautiful, there was no question about that. The light of day confirmed the fact, as well as revealing that her eyes were a deep, rich brown. Conrad's eyes seldom left her as they got ready to break camp.
You're acting a mite like you never seen a pretty girl before.
That's not true. I've had many lady friends, including some back in Boston who would put this frontier hoyden to shame.
Somehow I doubt that.
That I've had lady friends?
That any of them could put Miss Rebel to shame. She's as pretty a girl as I've seen in a long time.
You don't seem to mind admitting that.
I'm just stating a fact. You're the one mooning over her.
Hardly. I'm just trying to be polite.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm all saddled and ready to ride.
Then we should go. I want to put as much ground between us and the rest of your family as we can.
They followed the railroad tracks during the morning, moving closer to the right-of-way than Frank and Conrad had been traveling previously. Although there were plenty of mountains visible, jutting up in the distance, the area alongside the tracks was flat, and the railroad ran in a straight line for the most part, with only an occasional long, gentle curve. Because of that, they were able to see the elevated water tank beside the tracks for several miles before they reached it. As they drew closer, Frank saw that the water stop consisted of the tank itself on the north side of the tracks, a siding next to it where cattle cars could be sidetracked and loaded or unloaded, and a small building and platform on the other side of the tracks. This wasn't a manned station, but while trains were stopped to take on water from the tank, passengers could get out and stretch their legs on the platform if they were of a mind to. Likewise, folks from the ranches hereabouts who wanted to board the train could wait in the building or on the platform, depending on the weather.
This has to be the most godforsaken place I've ever seen. Are you sure you want us to leave you here, Miss Callahan?
Oh, I'll be fine, Miss...
Frank heard Wolf's warning too late. He whipped around toward the building, his hand going to the butt of his Colt. The door of the building was already open, and three men stood there with leveled guns in their hands.
Don't worry, boy. You won't be leaving Rebel here. Fact is, you won't be leaving at all.
Frank was fast with a gun. Faster, perhaps, than anyone in the history of the West, except for Ben Thompson, Smoke Jensen, and John Wesley Hardin. But not even he could outdraw guns that were already drawn. He froze with his hand on the butt of his Colt as he looked down the barrels of the revolvers pointed at him and Conrad and Rebel.
See here, you can't just...
They got the drop on us, Conrad. I reckon they can do just about anything they damn well please.
Yeah, you're right about that, Morgan. And it's gonna please us a whole heap to put some bullets in you and this dandified friend of yours. Now, just take your hand away from that Colt gunfighter. You're making me nervous.
Why should I worry about that? You're gonna kill us anyway, nervous or not, aren't you?
Oh, you're damn right. I wouldn't mind seeing you squirm a little bit first, though.
Well, that's not gonna happen.
Nah, I reckon it's not. Might as well get this over with.
Frank's eyes flicked for an instant to Conrad. The young man was pale with fear, but his face was composed. He wasn't going to panic and start crying or pleading for his life.
At least have the decency not to make Miss Rebel witness this atrocity.
Rebel stepped behind him and plucked the Colt Lightning from its holster on Conrad's hip.
They're not making me do anything. It was my idea to fool you and lead you right into this trap.
Rebel, you can't mean that.
You make an enemy of one, Callahan. You make enemies of all of them.
This is my fault, Conrad. I didn't trust her from the beginning. I should have trusted my instincts. Instead, I hoped I was wrong.
Well, clearly, your gut feeling was correct.
Yeah, I'll have to remember that. Even so, it's going to be difficult to pull the trigger on a woman, no matter what I know about her.
You know, I'm going to give you one thing, Morgan. You do have some sand in you.
Listen, you boys haven't thought this through.
The hell we haven't. We're going to kill you, and that's all we got to think about.
You don't think I'm going to go down right away, do you? Even with lead in me, I'll stay on my feet long enough to get my gun out and get a shot or two off. I'll kill at least one of you before I die.
Shh, that's big talk.
And there's my dog. In case you haven't noticed from the way he's looking at you and raising his lip, he hates all three of you and can't wait to get his teeth in you. Again, you can shoot him, but he'll live long enough to tear out somebody's throat.
Ed, I don't like dogs. Never have cotton to them.
Shut the hell up, Bob! Morgan's just trying to run a bluff. He thinks he's gonna scare us so bad we'll tuck our tails between our legs and slink off like some sort of coyotes.
No bluff, Ed. Just telling you the way it is. If I can manage to whistle just right before I cash in my chips, and I'm betting I can, that big Palouse of mine will charge right up here on this platform and go to kicking. So between me and my horse and my dog, you'll all die, all three of you. No doubt about it in my mind.
Both of Rebel's brothers looked nervous enough to jump out of their skin. They had been roped into this affair by their cousin, and now they weren't so sure about it.
Don't listen to him, boys. Let's do what we came here to do.
I told you what's gonna happen. If you want to pull those triggers and start the ball, well, you've got it to do.
Ed, I don't...
Ow! Engine!
Frank had told Conrad that it didn't take much cover to hide an Apache warrior, and this attack was proof of that. The Apaches had gotten to within 50 feet of the station before emerging from the scrubby brush to launch their assault on the whites. Frank dropped to a knee and fired again. One of the Apaches who had a rifle spun around, blood spurting from his arm where Frank's bullet had holed it.
Get down! Stay down!
Let's get out of here!
The Callahans slammed through the front door of the station, ran across the single small room, and burst out the back.
Where are they going?
Don't know, don't care.
They hid their horses in that arroyo we passed on the way in. Bastards are leaving me here to die!
That's some family you got there, young lady.
Since the Apaches were being kept busy at the moment by him and Conrad, Frank realized that they were helping their sworn enemies to escape.
What do we do now?
Frank couldn't tell if the shots hit anything or not. They certainly made some of the Apaches jump for cover. Three of the Indians ran between the legs of the water tank.
We need a diversion.
Frank angled the barrel of his peacemaker up and squeezed off a shot. The long spout dropped, slamming into the three Apaches and knocking them off their feet. Water from the tank inundated them.
Make for the horses! Get moving, Conrad! Go!
The saddle horses and pack horses were strong and not worn out by a full day's ride, so within seconds they had pulled away from the water stop. The Mimbres River loomed in front of them, spanned by a short trestle.
Should we cross the river here?
We'll cross the river, but not on the bridge. It'll take too long. If the Apaches are following us, it'll give them a chance to catch up.
Where then?
Right here. Follow me and Stormy, and hold on to Rebel's reins. I want her to stay with us.
Don't worry. She's not going anywhere.
They put their horses down the sloping bank of the stream bed and splashed across the shallow river. The horses lunged up the other bank and kept running. The Apaches were a couple of hundred yards behind them now, and the warriors weren't going to be able to catch up on foot, at least not anytime soon. Frank wasn't sure why he had brought Rebel along. He didn't want to leave her to the Apaches, of course. But it was more a matter of thinking that they might be able to convince her to abandon her quest for vengeance, the same way her brothers and her cousin had abandoned her to the Apaches.
Where are we going?
Away from those Apaches.
What are you gonna do with me?
That was a damned good question. Unfortunately, Frank didn't have the answer. He supposed it would depend on whether or not after this fight with the Apaches, Rebel still wanted to see him and Conrad dead. They didn't slow down until they had put several miles between them and the station at Mimbres Tank. Frank decided it was safe to slow the group to a walk.
Where's Wolf? Did the Apaches get him?
Not likely. I imagine he took off from there when we did. We just outdistanced him. But he'll find us, don't you worry about that.
Rebel hadn't said anything since asking what they planned to do with her. She looked straight ahead, a frown on her face. Finally.
They went off and just left me there.
Yep, they sure did. I reckon they were more interested in saving their own skins. Not to mention their hair.
But they left me! I'm not surprised that Ed would do such a thing. We've never been that close, but Tom and Bob are my brothers!
They were hurt and scared. And Conrad sort of had you pinned down where they couldn't get to you easily. Otherwise, they probably would have grabbed you and taken you with them.
Frank, do you think those were the same Indians we saw yesterday?
More than likely.
So they did go back and get the rest of their war party, just like I said they were going to.
Chances are that wasn't the whole bunch.
They come after us?
It wouldn't surprise me if they were back there somewhere right now. But it's possible, too, they might have decided they've already paid a big enough price without getting what they wanted. They might go back up into the foothills and wait for somebody else to come along.
They have to be part of the same group that's threatening the spur line.
What spur line?
I hardly think that's any of your business. After all, it's only been a short time since you and your brothers and cousin were trying to kill us.
That didn't stop you from jumping on top of me when the arrow started flying. You pounced on me like I was a saloon girl, and you were a cowboy who hadn't seen a woman in a month of Sundays.
I'm sure you'd know all about such scandalous behavior.
Frank glanced over and saw Rebel blink and flinch a little as if she had been struck. Clearly, Conrad's words had stung her. Frank wasn't sure why Rebel would care what Conrad said, or what he thought of her, for that matter. They were enemies, after all. But they were also close to the same age, young and vital, and full of life's juices.
Well, there you are, my friend. You look a little winded. We'll rest for a few minutes.
They swung down from their saddles and stretched. The horses cropped a little grass while Frank petted Wolf and told him what a good job he had done of catching up to them. Conrad and Rebel stood off to one side. Conrad's eyes were narrowed, and he kept a close watch on Rebel.
You don't have to stare at me like that. I'm not armed. I'm not going to shoot you.
Thanks for reminding me.
Conrad took his Colt Lightning out of its holster, where he had jammed it after emptying it at the Apaches back at Mimbra's tank.
I suppose you lied about being a good shot, the same way you lied about everything else.
Give me that gun and you'll find out what kind of shot I am.
Oh, I think not.
Where the hell are you from? You don't talk like you come from around these parts.
These past few years I've been in Boston. Cambridge, actually, attending Harvard.
That's some sort of fancy school, ain't it?
Harvard is the finest university in the country, as well as one of the oldest.
Well then, how'd you come to be out here in New Mexico territory? Shouldn't you be back up there at Harvard with your head stuck in a book? Or up your...
I have business interests in this territory. I've graduated from the university, and I'm now very involved in running the family enterprises.
And how'd you get mixed up with a gun thrower like Morgan?
Frank smiled to himself as he heard the question, wondering how Conrad was going to answer it. Would the boy claim him as his daddy?
Frank and I have known each other for several years. He owns a small percentage of the business interests that I control.
So they were just business associates, Frank thought. Conrad didn't want to admit, even to this Wild West Texas girl, that he was related to the famous or infamous Drifter. It came as a slight surprise to Frank that he experienced a faint pang of disappointment at this realization.
So, where are the two of you headed?
We're on our way to... Wait just a minute. Why should I tell you where we're going? If you were to get away from us and join forces again with your brothers and your cousin, you can tell them where to find us.
They're going to find you anyway. Ed will get on your trail again, and he won't give up until there's another showdown. He's bound and determined to even the score for Simon and Judd.
Then he's a damn fool. He'll just wind up getting himself killed, along with your brothers.
You must not know what it's like to be part of a family, Mr. High and Mighty Gunfighter. If you did, you'd know there are some things you just don't give up on. Not when it has to do with your family.
Frank didn't say anything, but he looked at Conrad. Conrad didn't seem to want to meet his gaze, however. The young man simply looked away.
We gotta move now. If the Apaches are on our trail, I don't want to give them time to close the gap too much. Conrad, take Miss Callahan's reins again.
I won't try to get away. Where would I go? There may be Apaches on our trail, and I don't know where Tom and Bob and Ned are. I'd be a fool to run off now.
Yeah, you would. That doesn't mean you wouldn't do it if the notion struck you.
How about if I gave you my word?
Reckon we got a heap of reasons to believe that.
No, I mean it. I swear, I won't try to run off or pull any other tricks.
How about giving up this grudge you got against me? You gonna do that too?
You know I can't. Not unless Ed does. It was his brothers who got killed, so it's up to him how to pay that debt.
But what you're saying is that we ought to call a truce.
For now, yes. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, Mr. Morgan. In fact, if you were smart, you'd give me a gun. I can help you fight off those Indians if they attack us again.
When and if that time comes, I'll think about it. Until then, I reckon it'd be all right for Conrad to give you your reins back. But no gun.
Frank set the pace, keeping them moving steadily westward at a good clip without pushing their mounts too hard. After a few miles of quiet travel, Frank thought it was a good idea to break the silence.
This is the old Butterfield stage route. Back in the days before the Union Pacific and the Central Pacific joined up, the only way you could travel from one side of the country to the other was by stagecoach. And this was the major route.
Did you ever ride the stagecoach?
Many times. In those days, it was even more dangerous, because Geronimo and his bucks were still out raising hell. I remember hearing about how they jumped one stage to Lordsburg and chased it for a long way. Might have caught it, too, and massacred everybody on it, if one of the passengers hadn't been quite a good shot with a rifle and held him off until a cavalry patrol came along and made the Apaches turn tail and run. Back then, it was unusual to go clear across southern New Mexico and Arizona territories without running into a fight somewhere.
Thank goodness the area is more civilized now. Someday, people will be able to travel anywhere they want to without having to worry about being attacked.
That's a nice dream. I think someday the Apaches will be either wiped out or tamed. That's inevitable. But there will be other threats. Human nature will see to that.
They rode on through the afternoon, gnawing on jerky and cold biscuits to ease their hunger pangs, washing down the food with swigs from their canteens, stopping only occasionally to let the horses rest. During one such stop, Frank climbed one of the telegraph poles that were strung out alongside the railroad tracks.
You see anything, Frank?
Not a thing. Maybe the Apaches have given up.
Are you willing to count on that?
Nope.
Didn't think so.
I don't see the Callahans, though. I'd be able to see three men on horseback.
That evening, Frank led them well south of the railroad to a clump of boulders where they made camp. The spot would be fairly easy to defend in case of trouble because the rocks provided a considerable amount of cover. If they had to fort up here, any attackers would have a hard time rooting them out.
Do we need to tie you up for the night, Miss Callahan?
I told you I'm not going to try and get away. I gave you my word. Jeez, I don't know what else I can do.
I guess I'll just have to take your word. If you run off, it'll just put you in more danger and won't have any effect on us.
I won't run off.
How about fixing something to eat then?
All right, I can do that.
Using bits of dry brush, Rebel built a small fire that was so well shielded by the rocks that it wouldn't be visible more than a few yards away. It didn't give off much smoke either. Frank looked on in approval. Rebel knew what she was doing.
Is it safe to have a fire? We don't want those Indians to find us.
If the Apaches are looking for us, they'll find us whether we have a fire or not. And if it's anybody else, they probably won't be able to see this fire, small as it is.
I must admit, that food smells wonderful. It'd be nice to have a hot meal.
That's what I thought. It's been a long, hard day. We need something to keep our strength up.
You still haven't told me where you're going.
And you know why.
Yes, but I've given my word that I'll go along with you. Don't I have a right to know where?
Attempting to trap us and murder us effectively takes away your rights, I believe.
Maybe I was wrong to do that.
Maybe?
Go to hell.
Judging by the desolate nature of our surroundings, I believe we may already be there.
You two don't intend to keep up this wrangling all night, do you? Planning on getting some sleep sometime.
I've said all I have to say.
So have I.
I'll believe that when I hear it.
The two of them seemed to call a truce and ignore each other, though, which was a welcome surprise to Frank. They ate supper in relative peace and quiet. Frank then put out the fire, while Rebel cleaned the pan with sand.
Conrad, how do you feel about standing first watch tonight?
All right, I can do that.
Not gonna doze off?
Of course not. I stayed awake during my turn last night, didn't I?
Far as I know.
Don't worry, Mr. Morgan. I'll keep an eye on him.
As if I need an enemy to do watch over me.
I thought we called a truce.
You'd still like to see us both dead.
Well, I'm not so sure about that anymore.
Do you mean you're giving up that quest for vengeance after all?
Oh, I don't know what I mean. I've spent a day with you fellas now, and you don't seem like such bad sorts. I might prickly, maybe.
She cast a meaningful glance at Conrad as she said that.
But I believe Mr. Morgan when he says he didn't want to kill Judd or Simon. They forced him into it. And even though I didn't ask you to, Mr. Browning, you did try to protect me when those Indians jumped us at Member's tank. I won't say that I'm sorry for anything that I did, but if I could talk to Tom and Bob at Ednow, I think I'd tell them they ought to just forget about it.
You said they won't do that. Especially Ed.
I don't think he will. I don't think he'll ever give up trying to avenge his brother's death. But if it was up to me, well, I'd call the whole thing off.
That's an awfully quick change of heart on your part. Why should we believe you?
Maybe because I don't give a damn if you do or not.
We'll hash this out some more in the morning. Right now, I'm gonna get some shut-eye. And I reckon you ought to as well, Miss Callahan.
Oh, for goodness sake, please call me Rebel. Miss Callahan sounds like my old maiden aunt, if I had one. Which I don't.
All right.
Thank you.
Wake me up in 4 hours or so. Night, Rebel. Night, Conrad.
Good night, Frank.
The three of them reached Lordsburg 2 days later, riding into the settlement in the early evening. The town lay at the foot of the Pelencio Mountains, a small range of rounded peaks that were little more than hills. They formed a black backdrop against which the lights of Lordsburg stood out brightly.
So, this is the beautiful city of Lordsburg. Charming.
What'd you expect?
I'm sure the food's hot and the water's clean.
During the long hours the travelers had spent in the saddle, Conrad and Rebel had begun to talk to each other more often, simply because there was nothing else for them to do, no other way to pass the time. She asked him quite a few questions about Boston and Harvard and life back east, and Conrad in return asked her about the ranch she and her brothers had operated in Texas. Conrad was convinced that Rebel had loved the ranch, and losing it had hurt her. He supposed he could understand that. If something had happened to cause him to lose all the companies that made up the Browning Holdings, he would have been upset too.
I didn't mean to criticize. It's just that after Boston, Lordsburg takes quite a bit of adjusting.
Apology accepted.
I wasn't apologizing.
Please, it's been a long ride for all of us. We've managed to outrun Apaches and Rebels' family. Let's just enjoy civilization, no matter what it looks like.
Frank had noticed a difference in the way Rebel was looking at Conrad in the final part of their journey together. He was sure the look had not gone unnoticed by Conrad, and Frank thought the young man seemed a bit uneasy with it.
Well, now what you gonna do with me? You can't keep me prisoner anymore.
Keep your voice down. You don't want to give people the wrong idea. My God, we didn't kidnap you or anything. You're the one who attempted to harm us.
Yes, and I've told you I'm sorry about that. I wish I'd never done it. You can believe me or not. It's up to you.
I reckon where you go and what you do is up to you now, Rebel. The main reason we brought you along is so that those Apaches wouldn't get you. Now that we've reached Lordsburg, you'll be safe enough.
So I'm free to go?
Sure.
Rebel stood there for a long moment, looking back and forth between Conrad and Frank.
What if I don't want to?
Don't want to what?
Go.
What are you gonna do then?
Well, I could trail along with you fellas for a while, wherever you're headed.
I'm not sure that's a good idea. You got your reputation to consider. A young, unmarried woman traveling with a couple of hombres she's not related to. Things like that cause people to talk.
You think I care about that? People can say whatever they darn well please. It don't mean anything to me.
Propriety is very important. If people just went around doing whatever they pleased, the world would descend into chaos and anarchy.
I reckon the world wouldn't fall completely apart just because I rode along with you and Frank, Harvard.
Conrad felt himself blushing. That was the first time she had referred to him by that mocking nickname.
Tell you what, we'll be spending the night here and stocking up on supplies in the morning. We'll sleep on it and talk about it over breakfast. How's that?
Sounds fine by me.
Well, all right.
After they had rented rooms and arranged to stable their horses in the barn behind the hotel and were assured that Wolf could stay there too, they went to their rooms. Conrad wished that Frank had consulted with him before agreeing to Rebel's suggestion that they meet in the dining room for dinner. He wasn't sure it was a good idea for him and Rebel to spend any more time together than necessary. The feelings he had begun to have, the feelings whose existence he didn't want to admit even to himself, might turn out to be a complication that he didn't need. He had been relatively forthcoming with Frank about the situation in Ophir, but there were a few things Conrad hadn't told him. A few things that Frank didn't know about yet. Frank was already in the dining room. He lifted a hand at the table where he sat, catching Conrad's attention.
Rebel's not down yet?
Nope. I reckon it takes a mite longer for a lady to get ready to eat.
Yes, but I was speaking of Rebel.
She's a lady, and you'd do well to remember it.
Oh, come now. She's little more than some wild frontier creature. She tried to help murder us, after all.
She made some bad decisions, because she was pressured into them by her brothers and her cousin, that's all.
Then you really believe that a few days of traveling with us has opened her eyes and caused her to change her attitude? Because I don't.
I don't know. Figuring out what a woman really thinks is one of the hardest jobs on the face of the earth, son. Just when a man thinks he knows what he needs to do, everything up and changes on him.
Don't be so damned paternalistic. I can do without the fatherly advice.
Suit yourself. Since you're so smart, I reckon you know how to handle this just fine without me. Starting right now.
Frank nodded toward the dining room entrance. Conrad looked in that direction, and his breath seemed to freeze in his throat. His heart slugged heavily in his chest. Rebel stood there, wearing a dress dotted with little blue flowers that hugged her slim waist and swooped low on her shoulders, leaving them bare for the most part and revealing as well the gently rounded swells of the upper third of her breasts. She had brushed her blonde hair until it shone in the lamplight as it caressed her shoulders. She was breathtakingly, heartbreakingly lovely. Lovelier than any of the women he had known back in Boston, Conrad realized with a shock.
You sure I don't need to start calling you Miss Callahan again? You look too pretty to be calling you Rebel.
Oh, Rebel, do just fine. That's my name, after all. Good evening, Conrad.
Good evening.
You look surprised. What's the matter? Did you think that I wouldn't clean up this nice?
No, not at all. I mean, that's not what I thought. I mean...
Sit down, Conrad. Let's just have some dinner.
Frank held Rebel's chair for her, and Conrad cursed himself for not thinking to do that. When had Frank become such a gentleman? It just wasn't right for a man such as him, a gunfighter for God's sake, to be so courtly. A waiter came over to take their orders.
Do you have a wine list?
Conrad immediately felt foolish because of the way the man looked at him.
Conrad, they don't have any wine, so it wouldn't do any good to have a list.
Oh, yes, of course.
Just bring us 3 steak dinners with all the trimmings. That'll do fine. Won't it, Rebel?
Oh, yes, of course. It sounds good. Wonderful, in fact, after being on the trail for days.
That's what I thought.
Conrad sat there trying not to seethe as they continued their chit-chat. Clearly, neither of them knew or cared that he was considered a witty and engaging dinner companion back in Boston. Otherwise, they wouldn't be ignoring him like this. Although Rebel was undeniably beautiful, she was no lady, despite what Frank said. She made occasional mistakes in grammar that showed her lack of a proper education. And when she laughed, she was a little too loud about it, a little too brassy. A man would never be able to take her out and show her off in civilized society.
Ah, the food's here.
About time. I am starved.
The threesome dug into their meals quickly, enjoying their first real food in days. They were still eating when a man came into the dining room, looked around, and then came toward their table after spotting them. Conrad noticed the man walking toward them and glanced at his father. Frank had seen the man too, of course, probably before Conrad had. One thing about Frank, he was constantly alert. The stranger was a blocky man in a black suit. His weathered face was decorated with white handlebar mustaches. The sheriff's badge, pinned to his coat lapel, shone in the light from the oil lamps that illuminated the dining room.
You'd be Frank Morgan.
That's right.
From the looks of things, you didn't come to Lordsburg to hunt trouble.
Just enjoying a meal with my young friends here.
Passing through, are you?
We'll probably leave in the morning, after we picked up some supplies.
That's good. Lordsburg's a peaceful place most of the time. I'd like to keep it that way.
Don't worry, Sheriff. I won't start any trouble. You have my word on that.
Won't start any, but you'll dang sure finish it if it comes to you.
I wouldn't have much choice in that case, now would I?
Do me a favor. Finish your supper and make an early night of it. Buy your supplies if you're a mind to, and ride out early tomorrow morning. Then we'll all be happy.
Sounds exactly like what I had in mind.
In that case, you folks enjoy your dinner and have a good night.
Phew. Thank you.
For what?
Well, you could have told him about what happened at Member's Tank.
That would have been out of his jurisdiction. Anyway, it's over and done with. And Conrad and I came through it pretty much without a scratch.
No thanks to me.
Over and done with.
That man was rather heavy-handed, don't you think, Frank? He had no reason to accost you like that. You haven't broken any laws here.
Almost everywhere I go, some lawman comes up to me and has the same sort of conversation. Somebody saw me and recognized me. Or the clerk at the desk recognized my name when I signed the book. One way or another, the sheriff got tipped off that I was in town, and he felt like he had to warn me not to let any grass grow under my feet.
But that's not fair. You have a perfect right to be here.
Fella just wants to keep his town safe for the folks who live here. He wouldn't be much of a lawman if he didn't feel that way.
And this happens everywhere you go?
Just about. Often enough that I gotten used to it anyway.
It's not an easy life, is it?
Having a reputation with a gun, you mean? No, it's not. But I reckon it's not the worst life in the world either. Whatever a man does, there'll be good things and bad about it. I never set out to be known as a gunfighter. But that was where circumstances took me. And it's too late to change now.
I could almost feel sorry for you.
Don't. I got a good horse, a good dog, and new trails to ride nearly every day. After all this time, I wouldn't ask for anything more than that.
I had you all wrong, Frank. Ed had me convinced that you were some sort of bloodthirsty killer. I can see now that you're nothing of the sort.
Irritation pricked along Conrad's nerves as he looked at the way Rebel was gazing at Frank. If he didn't know better, he'd think that she felt some sort of affection for him, perhaps even a romantic attraction. But that was insane.
He has killed quite a few men, you know. Hundreds, according to some accounts.
Folks tend to exaggerate.
No matter how many it was, I'll bet there wasn't a one of them that didn't need killing.
I hope not.
I don't believe I'm hungry anymore. I'm tired. I'm going up to my room and turn in.
Rebel turned a disinterested smile on him.
Good night.
Then she looked at Frank again.
Night, son.
Conrad wanted to tell Frank not to call him son, but he bit back the harsh reaction. With all the poise and dignity he could muster, he turned and stalked out of the dining room. Insane, he told himself again, as he thought about the way Rebel was looking at Frank. Positively ludicrous. But that didn't make Conrad feel a bit better.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, you little minx.
Why, what are you talking about, Frank?
You know good and well what I'm talking about. Taking advantage of that poor boy's feelings the way you were.
Oh, that poor boy can speak up if something's bothering him, can he? He doesn't seem to have any trouble talking about other things. In fact, he goes on and on more than anybody I ever saw.
Conrad is a mite fond of the sound of his own voice. But when it comes to what he's feeling, he's pretty close-mouthed.
And a little stiff-necked.
Sometimes.
Anyway, how do you know I'm not just acting the way I really feel?
For one thing, I'm old enough to be your pa. I'm almost old enough to be your grandpa.
But you're not either one of those.
And I've seen the way you look at Conrad when he's not watching.
He is a handsome boy.
If you're going to keep riding with us, sooner or later you're going to have to tell him how you feel. Lord knows Conrad might not ever get around to it.
Am I going to keep riding with you? Aren't you afraid to have me around? I mean, I might double-cross you.
I don't think so. I'm a pretty good judge of character, if I do say so myself.
Ed won't give up, and he'll drag Tom and Bob along with him.
That's another reason to have you around. As long as you're with us, they'll be less likely to bushwhack us. Your brothers may let Ed boss them around, but I reckon they wouldn't want a bunch of lead to start flying around if you were where some of it might hit you.
So, you want to take me along as a shield?
Your words, not mine.
A tense silence fell between them for several moments.
You still haven't told me where you're going.
A place called Ophir. A mining boom town north of here, in the mountains.
Why?
Well, I guess you have a right to know what you're getting into. Now, there might be danger along the way.
More danger. Imagine that.
Conrad's building a spur line up there, and the construction has run into trouble.
A spur line? You mean like a railroad?
That's exactly what I mean.
He owns a railroad.
Yeah, he does.
Wait a minute. Now, he said that you own part of the business, too.
That's right.
So you're really a railroad magnate, not a gunfighter?
I wouldn't call myself a railroad magnate. Not by a long shot. The percentage I own is pretty small compared to Conrad's.
Do you own other businesses, you and Conrad, besides the railroad?
To tell you the truth, I don't know what all we own. There are some mines, I know that. Lord knows what else.
I never knew I'd be riding the trail with a couple of rich men. Whew!
Money never meant that much to me. As long as I got enough for food and ammunition, that's all I need.
You don't have a big fancy house somewhere?
Nope. hotel like this is about as fancy as I ever get. A lot of nights I sleep out under the stars.
I can't imagine being rich and not living like it.
What would you do if you had a lot of money?
I'd go back to Texas and get our ranch back.
And then?
Why? Well, I reckon Tom and Bob and I would run it like we always have. Oh, I reckon I see what you're getting at, Frank.
I lived a long time before I ever had much money. By the time I did, I didn't have any interest in changing the way I live. So I've just gone on my way and let Conrad and the lawyers I hired do all the worrying. I'd say I got the best end of the deal.
I think maybe you did. Tell me about the trouble Conrad's been having with this railroad of his.
I don't know a lot about it myself just yet. Only what he told me when he asked me for help. Evidently, there have been some instances of sabotage, and a payroll got stolen, things like that. Plus, the Apache's been raising Ned, too.
You mean raising hell? No need to pretty it up for me.
Conrad met me in El Paso and told me what was going on. Asked me if I'd come out here and give him a hand. I felt like I ought to pitch in, especially since I do have a financial interest in the spur line and in some of the mines up around Ophir.
Frank didn't say anything about forcing Conrad to pay him for that help. He had already started to think that maybe he had been a mite too petty about that.
Have you two known each other for long?
A few years.
I can see why he'd want you to act as a troubleshooter. Reputation you've got and all. And now you've got to worry about Ed and those dang brothers of mine, along with the railroad's problems.
Life doesn't always wait for you to get finished with one challenge before it drops another one right on your plate.
No, I reckon not.
Now that you know who we are and where we're headed, you still want to ride along with us?
I'll go along. I don't want anything to happen to you or Conrad, and I don't want to see Tom and Bob get hurt either. Best chance I have to stopping that is to stick close to you two and hope that the boys give me a chance to talk some sense into them.
I was hoping that's what you'd say. I appreciate it, Rebel. I'd be obliged, too, if you'd remember what I said about Conrad.
About telling him how I feel? I know you want to help him, Frank, but some things he's just got to figure out on his own.
Frank nodded. But at the same time, he hoped he wouldn't have to knock the youngster in the head with a 2x4 just to get him to pay attention. Sometimes that worked with mules, but he wasn't sure about mule-headed young men. Frank was up early the next morning, and he had already bought supplies and had them loaded on the pack horse before he joined Conrad and Rebel for breakfast in the hotel dining room. They looked up at him as he came to the table and sat down, hanging his hat on the back of his chair. Judging by the tense expressions on their faces, they weren't getting along any better than they had been before.
I was just telling Rebel that if she'd like, I'm willing to pay for a train ticket so she can go back to El Paso.
And I was just telling Conrad that I don't need anybody taking care of me like I'm a newborn baby calf. If I wanted to go back to El Paso, I wouldn't ask for his permission or his help. But as it so happens, I don't want to go back.
Where are you going, then?
With us.
Conrad's eyes narrowed as he looked across the table.
What do you mean? We haven't discussed this.
Rebel and I hashed it out last night. She wants to trail along with us, and I think it's a good idea.
Hardly. It's a terrible idea, and no one consulted with me
about
it.
That's because I don't need you telling me where I can and can't go.
Am I to assume that my opinion means nothing in this matter?
Rebel and I figured that if she's along, the rest of the Callahans will be less likely to jump us. And she wants a chance to talk to her brothers before there's any more trouble.
What about the question of the whole arrangement being improper? Downright scandalous, even.
Oh, I don't care about that. So there's no reason for you to care either, Conrad.
Fine. Let the whole world think you're a trollop.
The whole world can go to hell. And so
I think I'll have some flapjacks. Maybe a thick slice of ham and some fried potatoes and some biscuits and gravy. It's liable to be a long day. Eat hearty, children.
I'm not a child.
Then don't act like one.
Me? You're the
Please,
one
Please, can we have a quiet breakfast?
It was going to be a long trail to Ophir.